life is pretty good. So I feel very blessed. Number one, I'm healthy. And this third act sort of endeavor came out of that. And, you know, from the recovery period, I finally said, well, let's just make this something good. Take the third act, what I call the good conversation we started last year, and move it into some meaningful sort of difference for people that are, I say, walking the talk every day. They're really out there in our communities helping the unfortunate that either don't have food, don't have housing, clothing, the whole bit. We're talking about the lowest of the low that fall under the cracks of the big organizations. So,
hello, my name is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new compassionate male. Today, I have the honor of having with me Roger Steed. Roger has an incredible program, and I was going to read through and summarize it all and so forth, but I said, the heck with that. I want to hear it from Roger. So, hi, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, this is a very interesting name. The program is called Third Act. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. It's as I say, I'll give you the 5-minute version and you can expound if you wish. But I had COVID last March and I was pretty ill for 2 weeks and then obviously got better. But the key out of that whole event, besides the illness, which was not fun, was because of precautionary reasons, I was basically living in my bedroom for a month and a half. My wife and daughter, who live in the same house, you know, we were all very protective. This was early days in the COVID sort of pandemic, and everyone was not sure about how long to, you know, stay away from each other. And so it was kind of funny and humorous in some ways. They'd leave meals on my dresser, and then I would go back and. This is after I was obviously on the mend, and I would I could work there. I had a TV, I had my computer, and so once I started feeling better, I basically had this time on my hands, which was the biggest thing in my head, to be honest. I mean, you know, I'm a morning person, so I get up at 5:30, and then the market started, and I'd be doing my investing thing for my clients, and then I had all this time to just think. And so, you know, a lot of things sort of came together, I guess, from the standpoint of a reassessment of my life, as well as this illness I just been through and what it means, if it meant anything, and what I was going to do about it. Was this going to roll with the punches and go back to work and go, you know, back playing golf and stuff with my buddies or what? So that was sort of the kickoff, if you will. And then from the March period, as I got better and started circulating again with my friends, I started walking with a neighbor who's a close friend, and he's a good listener. And he and a couple of my family members and close friends, they would hear my conversations about, you know, what this all meant and trying to hone in on a meaning for it. And I kind of finally came to a conclusion that had a bigger meaning. Instead of just, you know, getting through it and going on with what I was doing, which was in some instances very fine, I thought there's a bigger meaning to it. And I took it back all the way to my college days when I was a freshman, and we were in a fraternity at Oklahoma, and we had this pledge class outing where you escape from the membership for a weekend and have a good time. And so we went up to a big lake in Oklahoma and having a good time, you know, has freshman guys do.
Yes, I do.
So we had a great time, and life was good. And so, long story short, the host of that whole event, a pledge brother, got some guys rallied up late at night. I'm talking about 2 a.m. after I'd already gone to bed, and said, let's go. We're going to go out in the boat. So he gets his boat out of the storage. And, you know, it's one of those where he just slips it out and goes. But it was one of these speed boats. So I just sleepily said, okay. So one of my buddies. And so we get in the boat, and I'm sitting behind the driver, the host. And so he takes off. Look at he split. I mean, just going crazy.
At night.
At night. Very low light. as long story short, he hits a pylon, a telephone pole, basically in the water, and it splits the boat in half, and it hits him in the head, and basically kills him. And it ricochets off me because I'm behind him, and ricochets off me, and so he's in bad shape. I'm a little bit better, but somehow we get to shore. And long story short, I was taken to Tulsa. I was in ICU for a week and blah, blah, blah. So they had to do a little reconstruction of my skull, not my brain, but my skull. And so from that was a big sort of traumatic moment. And so I survived that, you know, went back to school. Life was good. Graduated, went into the banking business and was doing my thing. And somehow over time, I kept having this nagging feeling. Why did I survive? And my pledge brother died. How do I absorb this and go on with this? I never really came to grips with it, to be honest. Right. So one aspect of this I've kind of decided after years of thinking about it is that I kind of wanted to keep getting away from Oklahoma, my pledge brothers and so forth. So I moved from Oklahoma City, where I had a nice job, and I became, I went to an institutional broker in Dallas, Texas for 2 years. And then from that situation, they offered me a job in London, England. So here I am, a little Oklahoma boy, sitting in Dallas, and I put my hand in the air saying, I'll check it out. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm over there living there. So we moved to London, stayed there for 5 years, and then they asked me to move to New York. We moved to New York, and we lived in Connecticut for 9 years. And then I said, I can't keep this. We call it the old treadmill in New York, the commuting treadmill. You get up at 4:30 and you go into Wall Street and you get back on the train at 9 o'clock at night. And it's not a very good quality of life. So I did that for 9 years. But the key element of that is that I had a client here in Michigan. And the client was quite large. And so I would be sort of the quarterback, and I'd bring all these analysts and all these specialists out to see the people at the state capitol in Lansing. And so I'd be out here every 3 weeks, and I got to know Michigan well, and ended up picking up another couple of clients. And from that, I just decided it's time to make a switch. So twisted my wife's arm big time because she didn't want to move. And we had three children, grade school children, and we all moved to Michigan 22 years ago, and life has been steadily improving. And now you couldn't get us out of Michigan. So it's quite a journey we've been on, but it's been quite delightful. And now two of the daughters are married. One is very close to us. I mean, in the house. And so life is pretty good. So I feel very blessed. Number one, I'm healthy. And this third act sort of endeavor came out of that. And, you know, from the recovery period, I finally said, well, let's just make this something good. So I started honing this project out, and I started putting together the website, and had a friend offer some help because I didn't know anything about it. And so I got a young person to do the website and do my social media. And then I got a podcast producer, and, you know, we first did blogs or newsletters for 2 or 3 months. And then we rolled into the podcast in September. Now we're coming to 2021, and I want to kick it up a notch. I want to take the third act, what I call the good conversation we started last year, and move it into some meaningful sort of difference for people that are, I say, walking the talk every day. They're really out there in our communities helping the unfortunate that either don't have food, don't have housing, clothing, the whole bit. We're talking about the lowest of the low that fall under the cracks of the big organizations. So I've been really blessed to experience a lot of that through a volunteer perspective, as well as these podcast guests that come on the podcast and share their story. And I really want to amplify that. And now I want to help them make a difference so that we can raise some dollars and help their cause so that we can help more people. So long story short, that's kind of the 5-minute version.
And so the third act says that there was a first and a second act.
Well, it's my third act just from the standpoint of trying to make something really positive out of the final third of my life. That's kind of the genesis of that. But as I think about it, I just wrote this, and so it's my own mind thing. But I think it kind of has I call it a triple entendre aspect to it, meaning certainly it's a third act for me to find fulfillment and purpose in my life. I've called it building a purpose for me, building a purpose for the third act community as I continue to get more people to read and listen to the podcast. And then finally, most importantly, the improvement and the increasing impact we can have for quality people that are helping people throughout the country. Doesn't have to be in Michigan. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are, but some in Texas, some in Oklahoma, we're helping right now. And so I want to make this, I guess you'd say a movement, if we can garner the awareness and the attention and get people to sort of, I call it, lock arms and do this sure. together. So that's kind
so
of.
So is Third Act, is it formed as like a nonprofit organization?
Not today. No? Not today. We're experimenting with a friend in Austin I was telling you about, but we're talking about the structure of that. We may do an LLC. We may do just some other sort of more simplified sort of structure, financial structure, or maybe I'm just sort of highlighting the cause and
right.
the donors, if they choose to donate, will go directly to the outfit if they are a charitable organization. So it makes that pretty easy. But we are talking and experimenting with different sorts of avenues for financial backing, for sure.
But the main thing is matching resources with need.
Yes.
And just, let's just get into the trenches. Let's get the money where it needs to go, or
That's
get
right.
the support where it needs
That's
to
right.
go. Wow.
Yeah, I have a great story, if you'll allow me right now.
Please, but, yes.
Because I'm living it right now. I just wrote the blog for it. I did a podcast Friday with a young lady I've been working with since last September. She is just, I don't know. The Energizer Bunny times 10. Plus, at the same time, she has this gigantic heart. But also she has this ability to get volunteers to sign up for everything. So, I mean, I'm serious. From last March when she started food delivery and furniture delivery to these families in Pontiac, Michigan, which is a less fortunate community, we've been helping her. And it's just grown and grown and grown. We did a big Christmas program. We helped 175 families, which some families had seven people in the family, received tailored Christmas gifts for each family member with this gigantic spreadsheet. And then we had, you know, everyone delivering the gifts into Pontiac. It was really a fun event and everyone felt good about that. But now she has a new program, which I'm really psyched about. And I want to get people to help out. It's what she calls a book buddy program. And what it is going to do, it's going to take kids, high school kids and volunteers, adults, out of, say, Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, the suburbia Detroit, uh-huh. and they're going to read bedtime stories to children, third and fourth graders in Pontiac. The kids in Pontiac are going to get new pajamas, which they don't have, and they're going to get hot chocolate, which is a little enticement. But they're going to get six books that the reader is going to read to them. They're going to be on Google Meet is the way they're going to do it, just like a Zoom call.
Okay.
And it's going to be really, really cool. And so I'm really charged up about it because I'm really enthusiastic about helping anything in the educational field, particularly with low income and people that are really in need. So this hits the button really good for me.
Well, so let me ask this, just making sure I understand. So somebody in one town is going to connect with families in another town or another place?
No, it's individual to individual. So
individual. Okay.
This is so cool the way this started. There's a school in the area, Bloomfield Hills, called Sacred Heart. And mm-hmm. a teacher friend of my friend said, yeah, I'm all in. And she started talking to her high school kids, and she had 25 kids say, I'm in, I want to do this. And so it's just a beautiful thing that these high school kids from let's be honest, well-to-do families, they want to give back. They want to participate. And this whole pandemic sort of shutdown has prevented them from doing that. Mm-hmm. So this is a way for them to get involved. And they're on their computer. The child in Pontiac is on his computer. So the Google Meets is like a Zoom call. And so they'll be reading, the one in Bloomfield Hills will be reading the book, and the child in Pontiac will be listening. And there's a little bit of a promotion. You know, you read six books and some good things happen sort of thing. So it's a program that can expand, which is great. We think that through our contacts with the Pontiac sort of public schools, that could be over 5,000 kids that could use this. So it could really be a neat program that we could really expand and make it useful. So basically, short story, I challenged my community to get involved this week, and that's going to come out Friday. And I did the podcast with Kimber Bishop Yankee, who is the person that created this. And I hope that we get some commitment. I certainly committed. My wife and I committed, and we want others to join this effort. So,
wow, that is so powerful because, I mean, personally, you know, I've not had my own children, but I've watched the neighbor kids grow up since they were 3-4 months old.
Right.
And they used to come over and stay. And I mean, and so I've had my first family, surrogate family, so to speak.
Sure.
But COVID hit, and, you know, we're touching hands through the glass, you know, and it just breaks my heart. And never did I even occur to me that we could get on to FaceTime, you know, just across the street and
right.
do that.
We've
talked that way. But wow, it's powerful for both. I mean, the kids love it, and I know it fills my heart.
Exactly. And that's my point, or my hope. My hope is that others that hear Kimber talk about it on the podcast and read my little sort of challenge will say, shoot, yeah, I'm in. I'll throw in some dollars to help that cause, and we can raise some money, which allows us to buy the books, which allows us to add more kids. And so it could be a beautiful thing. We have, she has some pretty good goals, and so I want her to attain those, and I'm going to do everything I can to help her.
So the person who volunteers to read, how would you characterize that person?
You know, I'm just learning about it. So
yeah, okay.
I think it's going to be, it could be anyone's of our children, to be honest.
There's something inside that is touching in them.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the great part about it from my perspective, is that they already had this knack. I mean, everyone that's lived through this pandemic knows what the situation is. And so if you're, I'll use my word, if you're captive in your house and you can't, you know, go out with your friends and you're tired of playing games and TV. And so how do you get involved? You can see what's going on in the world. There's this whole inequity between those that are being left out and those that are doing well. And so my whole approach is to really try to help those that are being left out of this economic sort of situation where we find ourselves. And so these children of parents are seeing the same thing. So they want to get involved. So I think it's it's heartening for me to hear that. And it's too, that they were so spontaneous to sign up. That's the cool part.
You know, what I'm learning in my search for the new compassionate male is that there really is a live spark of compassion within every person. We may not realize that that's what it is. And a lot of, you know, most of us guys have got some level of feeling that's shut down by the patriarchy, right? And yet that burn is there. And once we realize what that is and are able to unleash it, then I am a more complete person in that way.
I agree. I mean, I've said this to anyone that wants to listen to it, actually. But every time I have a great phone conversation with someone new, every time I have a podcast with someone that gives me another great story and inspirational way to contribute to their cause, it is so energizing. It's so energizing. Yeah. And it gives me the juice, if you will, to make that next call or find that next project or find that next person, because they're all over the place. People are the kindness that's out there is tremendous. And I also know that there's also a willingness to participate from the standpoint of volunteers and donors if you make that connection. And so my hope is I can make the connection through my guests and through my newsletters to get people to join. I say join the effort. I can do it, but it's going to be more effective, and it's going to help the cause more if I can get 10 people, 20 people, 100 people to join in the effort. And that's my hope this year.
Well, you know, you were touching on, you know, us being all confined and so forth. And I know with my men's circle, you know, it's almost a lot of times I see fellows that are, you know, this helpless, hopeless. I can't do anything to change the world. Who am I? You know, and I'm reminded of the old story of the young fellow on the beach. He's found all these starfish and he's tossing them out one at a time. And the old man comes up to him and you know what he says, you know, son, you can't make a difference here. And the little boy picks up another one. He tosses it out and he said, I made a difference to that one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and that's, I think, the spark that these people that are volunteering is this feeling of being helpless, hopeless, because this pandemic and all that's going on is so huge. But here's a place where I can make a difference to that one.
That's exactly
And all right. that energy can come out.
That's exactly right.
That's oh, exactly that's right. wonderful. Now, that's just one program.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got 8 or 10. That's the exciting part for me, and that gives me the energy to really reach higher, as I say it, or try to step it up this year and be more meaningful to more organizations. That's my hope. And so, you know, I had a number, I don't want to single out anyone because there's many, but I have retired guys that are building beds for kids in Pontiac. I have a guy that's repairing bikes for kids that's retired. I talked to a gentleman who's 35 in San Antonio that has this adaptable bike program for challenged youth that need help with that. And he's growing that into a mentoring program. That's beautiful. So there are stories all over the country. And I know I'm just scratching the surface, but if I can get a handful of these that can really invite or grab people and bring in more participation, then I think we're going to have a great year. So that's my hope, and that's my aspiration as I look out into 2021.
Well, I hold that with you. And what strikes me is your energy and your energy of do. And this other person you were describing, how her, you know, the Energizer Bunny. I believe people are starved for that kind of leadership.
You know, I think I was. I'll say this. I think I was. I think, you know, my life was and is pretty good. I mean, I have my investment business. You know, I have my friends here, play golf on the weekends, do the business Monday through Friday. Life was okay. But I didn't really have that connection or that give back possibility until I got sick. And you're getting sick and you're in your, I tell you, you're in your bedroom for 2 months. You think about a lot of stuff. It really has a mind bender for you. So at least what it did for me. So that was the genesis of this whole thing, which now I'm thankful for, to be honest.
I so relate to that. You know, there was a time in my life when things were very dark and I reached the point where it was, you know, the age old question, who am I? Why am I here and where am I going? And I knew that I couldn't answer that question. And that was what was the emptiness that I had.
Right.
And it took me skinning my chin on the asphalt enough times to finally begin to see. And, you know, it was funny because I had a hiatus from organized religion for 20 years. And I started going back to, I went to a Unity church, kind of in the New Thought tradition.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, and I had my journal and I mind map and, you know, and I'm processing and everybody's healing from something in there. And one day our minister said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to build a condo there."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I just howled laughing. And of course, everybody looked at me, you know, but it was like, wow, I could have had a V8.
Right, right.
But it was a humorous twist on a Bible verse that got through to me that said, Clay, you have choice.
Yes.
You can choose to be here.
Yes.
You can choose to make a different decision and move on. And that's kind of, I think, perhaps what come to you along the way.
Yeah, there's definitely a spiritual aspect to it that I'm still, I say, walking with. I don't know exactly how that's all going to play out. I mean, I think of myself as spiritual. I think of myself, I mean, two of my guests have been pastors. So I think that says something with that. And I do pray, and I do think I do have a strong disposition for mission and giving back to others. And I have, you know, since I can remember, but this is different. This is, this is all weekends. And this is, you know, after I go home at 5 o'clock at night, this is what I'm consumed with. So it's taken on a bigger portion of my free time for sure, which is great because, as I say, I have a purpose. It's building a purpose for me. And if I can build a purpose for me, then I can build a purpose, hopefully, for others. So,
yeah, I'm reminded of Viktor Frankl and, you know, what he witnessed during the Holocaust and so forth. And it always comes back to me at times. It was, he who has a why to live can endure almost anyhow. And it's the why that is so, so, so important to me. And to be on the journey, I'm still looking for my why, but I'm on the right. I'm heading in the right direction.
No, you definitely are.
And it keeps, it gets a little clearing, a little adjust here, a little adjust there. But to be on that, on a path of something greater than oneself.
Right.
To me, that's spirituality. That's the what it's all about.
I'm with you 100% on that one. So for sure.
Yeah. Well, so you've got three parts to your program: illumination, compassion, inspiration. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Well, it's sort of all wraps into my thinking of trying to promote good organizations or individuals that are doing great things in our communities. So I've done everything from doing a newsletter, from simple stuff, going to our little deli next door and our hairdresser, my dry cleaners, and interviewing them in the depths of the pandemic and saying, how are you getting through this? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you getting your PPE loan? Are you doing? And they were shut down. They were shut down. And, you know, these are small businesses that need, you know, daily customers. I'm sure they're the same in Austin. But that's one aspect of it. Then I started interviewing and talking to bigger organizations or charitable organizations like Forgotten Harvest is big in our part of the world. And they take a lot of food that is both leftover and still quite good. Mm-hmm. And they give it out to a lot of charitable sorts of endeavors. But since when the pandemic hit, they just completely changed their mission and started these kiosks all around Metro Detroit. I think they had 17 or 20 of them. And they are basically food banks, portable food banks, for lack of a definition. And so they get volunteers and they get everyone to donate, get a lot of donations of food. And it was a beautiful thing. And it's still ongoing. I'm helping the friend I mentioned, Kimber, that's doing the Book Buddy program. She also helps a food delivery drive and a furniture drive, which I'm helping with that. And so we're doing our thing in Pontiac, and other people are doing things in other parts of Metro Detroit. And, you know, the volunteer aspect is one where I know some people cannot do it for physical reasons and also for health reasons. But if you can do it, it is a light that turns on that you'll never forget. At least in my a short witness of this. So, you know, going into houses with three mattresses on the floor that, you know, five or six or seven people, kids and adults are sleeping there. You go into a trailer and a gentleman doesn't have any heat, and he's been that way for 3 months, and he's getting his heat from a portable heater from a neighbor that is running an extension cord to his trailer. I mean, these people, what I really wanted to initially do is promote individuals and organizations that are making a difference below the charitable organization sort of floor. These are people that are falling below the cracks, I call it. Mm-hmm. And then the illumination piece is really just the spotlight in the podcast and bringing more awareness to it. And then the inspiration piece is now what's going to be in 2021 is getting more people involved and making a difference. And that means increasing the impact, helping to generate more dollars, donated dollars to a cause that's really worthwhile. And if I can pull all that together, then we're going to make a difference. And so that's the hope this year.
And your focus is within the city.
No, absolutely not. I don't know if you heard before, but I've talked to a lady in Oklahoma City that's doing rebuilding OKC. And so she's helping a lot of older people that are getting their houses fixed up and getting ramps built in their homes. And she's dynamite. I did a podcast with her. I did a podcast with a gentleman in San Antonio, Texas, that is doing these adaptable bikes for kids that are physically challenged. And so there's a number of programs that I've highlighted. So no, it doesn't have to be Michigan. Doesn't have to be Pontiac. Those are just examples recently that I've been involved with. So,
you know, that's one of the neat things about having a podcast, isn't it? You're meeting so many interesting people. I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to meet and get involved with the Charter for Compassion, Karen Armstrong's organization, and networked all around the world and come in contact with so many fascinating people doing so much good. And as you're talking, I'm reeling off my mind, I need to introduce you to this person, this person, this person.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's one way I think I can help, you know, support lifting.
That would be great. I mean, I made this up, but it can be true. But I said, I used Austin as my example. I said, I'd love to have a project in Austin where I can highlight that to the Third Act community, and we can go down there and make a difference in a drive, Special Olympics, you name the cause, that we can get involved with and really make a difference. And that, you know, more people, more of my friends, girls, doesn't have to be guys, anyone can come down and join the effort. And then hopefully we can get more awareness and therefore more help into that cause and maybe take on a hands-on sort of approach. So I'm totally open to anything, but I want to be able to have my efforts make a difference in a organization. If I, you know, I love the Red Cross and I love a lot of the big organizations, but I want to help those that the Red Cross is not touching. I want to help those that the food bank in Pontiac is not touching. There's people underneath that blanket that don't have a car. They don't have the ability to, they don't speak English. They feel very intimidated about the whole situation they find themselves. And they need help. They need food. They need, shoes. They need basic stuff that we in Birmingham and Bloomfield Hills take for granted. And that's another thing that's been a mind blower for me. Although you know it in Austin, I'm sure it's the same thing in Austin, Dallas, wherever, but these communities are 15-20 minutes from where I live. And these people are struggling to survive, and if we can help in any way to make their life a little bit better through either some furniture that's donated from a family in Bloomfield Hills that goes to Pontiac, or food delivery, or turning on the heat, or paying the electric bill for a guy in a trailer that's didn't have electricity for 3 months. That is meaningful stuff. And that gives me the encouragement and the energy to go to the next project. So
if somebody wants to chip in with you. They want to, you know, sign up beside you and work beside you or support you in some fashion. What's the best way for them to contact
you? The easiest way to do it is to sign up through my website to the newsletter. The newsletter, well, actually the website has both the podcast and the newsletters under separate tabs, so they can find both. But it is weareThirdAct.com. weareThirdAct.com, and they can find it quickly. Sign up. There's a button for signing up for the newsletter, and then there's an easy tab to go through all the podcasts from the very beginning.
And okay, so let me clarify. And is it We Are Third Act? Is that all spelled out in words?
It's all one. Yeah, all one.
All one. Yeah. Okay. So there's no
third is THIRD. We are thirdact.com. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll certainly put that, you know, that'd here on the screen and I'll put that in the text, where I post it. I'm certainly going to be posting it on my website.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll put your contact. I'll put the website address there.
That'd be great.
And,
be
great. To make sure people can contact you.
Yep.
Wow. Coming back from COVID and doing such great things. That's so powerful.
Well, it's powerful for me too. So
it is.
And I think even my friends that know me from around here, they see a difference. I mean, we haven't been able to play golf, but at the same time, I think the commentary I get, the little different conversations and texts and emails, people recognize that it's making a difference for me. And, you know, if I can encourage more people to join in, then that's a good thing too. So.
Well, I want to say this. First, I would love for you to come back. I'd love to get a progress report here down the road. And is there anything in the last couple of minutes here that we've not touched on that you would like to share?
No, I think just if anyone has any interest in your community, to check us out. Mm-hmm. Just do so. We're also on LinkedIn. At least Roger Steed is on LinkedIn, and I put out some of my blogs and newsletters and podcast links on that. And we're also on Instagram, so they can find We Are Third Act on Instagram as well as LinkedIn.
Facebook?
I'm not a Facebook guy.
Okay, so Instagram is where to go.
Instagram
and LinkedIn. And okay. LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Okay. Roger, it's been a real pleasure meeting you and visiting with you today. That's a wrap for now. We'll see you next time in search of the new compassionate male. Powerful. I loved our conversation.
Thanks.
There's got to be a good news network.
Well, maybe that's what you should start. Yeah.
Well, I tell you one thing is I've had this vision of the compassionate male podcasting network.
Hey, count me in.
And all the podcasters, we all know each other. And I say, hey, you need to get this guy onto your show and vice versa.
I would be all in on that for sure.
And because I really do believe that with all the change that's happening right now, the new compassionate male really is emerging as a new archetype. You know, it's not this, it's, you know, I was talking to somebody when they were talking about, well, you know, you're talking about the new age guys in the 60s and 70s that, you know, they were all soft and in their hearts and stuff. I said, no, that was a pendulum swing. What we're talking about now is an integration of head and heart. So that we can really fully show up.
Yeah, you're onto something. I mean, it's happening. It's happening, and it catches people at different times in their life and their maturity cycle, so to speak. And you know, that's why I say, even though it wasn't fun, I think the COVID illness was a great thing for me personally. I mean, I don't know what it's going to lead to, but I know it's not going to be a bad thing. It's going to be. I mean, I know my head, and my head is okay. I've done this. Can I do 10X? So, you know, we'll see where it goes.